Live from across Europe, this is Previously in Europe, a podcast about what's previously in Europe. I'm one of your co-hosts, Hugh, in London, and here's my lovely co-host, Kieran, in Berlin. Say hello, Kieran.
Hello, it's me, Kieran. I don't have a joke this week.
Great. So, you won't hear anything about the Conservative leadership election still, because we're not talking about it. You won't hear anything about Macron's Space Force and his new branch of the French military to look at space. I'm not joking. We're going to talk about the Greek election and the aftermath of it as part of our recurring segment, No Election Left Behind.
Woo!
Before we go into the results, which I'll let Kieran do, because Kieran likes doing that, because
I do.
He's very insistent that we cover every election.
Every election.
None left behind.
No.
I'm going to run through the current Greek electoral system, because it is confusing, to say the least. This is especially confusing because anyone who follows Greek politics may remember that I think 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, no, 2 years, 2017, there was a law passed to change the electoral system. However, the Greek constitution seems to have in place that you can pass electoral laws by a simple majority in the parliament. However, in order to prevent current ruling parties from just like changing electoral law to benefit them immediately, it only takes effect the following election, unless you have a supermajority in the parliament, in which case you can make it take place in the next election. So obviously, if you're doing something that's kind of cross-party appeal, it's a sensible thing that's fixing like a problem, like an obvious problem, and you get people to sign up for it, then you can make it happen immediately. But otherwise, it has to happen the following election. And there's quite a funny back and forth history about this, where I'll link it in the show notes. But effectively, on the Wikipedia page for like people being like how the mechanism by which people get elected to the Greek Parliament, it has six different versions of the electoral laws that have been in place since 1974, and along with that, because they've all been some form of proportionality. They've worked out the percentage required for an absolute majority in the parliament, which changes quite a bit between the versions. So currently you need about 40%, like 39-40% of the vote to get an absolute majority. Whereas the version that Syriza passed while they were in government, that will take effect in the next election, you'd need 47% of the vote to get an absolute majority, because it's kind of a more proportional, it's a more direct proportional system. The current system was in place, in 2007, there was a more direct proportional system, where you needed 47% of the vote, and it's kind of alternated back and forth between more proportional and less proportional. Usually when new democracies in power, they pass a law that makes it less proportional. So now that they're in power again, we could expect them to pass an electoral law that brings it back to what the current system is, probably, because that really seems to work quite well for them.
Oh, jeez. So it's just a system that has like solidified a back and forth,
yeah,
between parties. Yeah, so cool. I love it.
This is kind of like what people fear when they're like, "Oh, we make it too easy to change the electoral laws and not have to do it by like a plebiscite or something," which obviously is quite difficult to do. And then it's quite difficult to ever get any actual change. The alternative might be this, whereas if, say, in the UK, you could get rid of first past the post by a parliamentary majority, that could happen, but then immediately come back in the next election if the party who likes it doesn't win. So there's that. So the Greek system currently is, there's 300 seats in the parliament. There's a 3% national vote threshold that any individual party has to meet to get any seats at all. Then, if you've met the 3% threshold, you're eligible to win one of the 12 national party list proportional representation seats. Then it goes down to constituencies, where there are constituencies that fill most of the seats. I think it's 239 are filled directly by constituencies immediately, and then the rest of the seats there are left. No, that, then there's 12. Yeah. So it's 238. plus the 12 national seats, which are done by constituencies. 7 of the constituencies are single member constituencies, so they have first past the post. And then the other ones are, there's 231 seats that go to multi-member constituencies, where every constituency has at least 2 members. And then there's regular proportion, a regular proportional representation system. I forget the exact way they do runoffs or do vote transfers, but it's proportional. And then this generally works out to they do a calculation at the start, which is, so we're at 250 seats. So the calculation at the start, which is your vote percentage divided into 250, which gives you what your maximum theoretical vote should be. So then any like every time they need to work out how many seats you should get when you work at your percentage of constituency versus the number of seats available, you always round down the number of seats if it's a decimal place, and that means there's seats left over, and then they dole them out at the end to make it more proportional. And then after that, you have 250 seats handed out, and then whoever is first, whatever party is, no matter what their percentage is, they get an additional 50 seats, which is like the winner's bonus. The premise of this is to make like absolute majorities or coalitions easier to form, but it's kind of a bit sketchy.
Oh yeah, it's a dumb system. I hate it. We talked about this off mic, but it's basically the systems that like are disproportionate in this way, in such a way that people who defend it will make the argument, it makes stronger governments. Mm. I would argue it doesn't. I think it makes more incompetent governments that aren't aware of their own like power. The example I gave Hugh was hearing someone who was like, listening to someone talk about how they observed the Brexit campaign and how the Remain side was basically taken over by the Tories. Mm-hmm. And they were like, oh, we know how to do this. We win elections. That's what we do. And in fairness, they were off the back of a pretty good track record of getting majorities in Parliament. But due to the fact of the incredibly broken system that is the UK, and again, a system designed in such a way that supposedly leads to stronger governments, they'd never won 50% of the country before. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to do that because they've never needed to. And also there's other problems with disproportionate systems where it's like it increases voter apathy. You've heard all those arguments before, I'm sure, dear listener.
This is crazy. So New Democracy ended up with
158.
158 seats, and that's because proportionally, they got 108 seats plus 50. It's kind of created this interesting thing where the result, like the headline in quite a few places for the results I saw, like the Guardian headline was like included like landslide in the title. And you're like, they won by like a reasonable percentage, but their massive seat majority is because they're almost double the like Syriza's seats, but that's because of the 50 seat bonus. So in the next election, unless it's overturned, that might be quite different. And it might be quite difficult for New Democracy to hold on to running the government by themselves, unless they like somehow mysteriously increase their vote share.
Another thing about this is another way you can look at it, and I guess this kind of leads into the results, is that if this plus 50 seat system didn't exist, like whatever else, I kind of think the whole like first past the post for like incredibly small and unique communities, mm-hmm. I think that's a fine-ish system. I'm assuming that's for like really far-flung islands or isolated islands.
So they group a lot of the islands together, for instance, but because like a lot of them are still small,
sparsely populated.
Yeah, and sparsely populated. Like you need to group quite a few of them together, and then still you don't end up with like big
multi-member
constituencies, yeah. And like you would start getting quite ridiculous landmass wise in a lot of places to work that out. So I think first past the post, if the place is small enough, is fine because you then fix that for like you because of the leftover seats mechanism, which a lot of like is not an unusual thing in proportional systems, especially with party lists. When you fix it nationally, if it's worked out not proportional, that fixes the problem you have with individual first past the post constituencies. It doesn't have the thing I like that multi-member constituencies does guarantee, which is like you probably have someone you at least considered passable who's an MP in your constituency, who's directly supposed to, you know, work for your constituency. But like this current Greek system is ridiculous. There's far too many steps to it.
Yeah, so I guess I was saying, if the 50-seat thing didn't exist, though, I think you would have to look at the parliament and say, like, nominally speaking, a left bloc won.
Mm-hmm.
Because So there are six parties in the parliament now. Mm-hmm. Is going into results. We have New Democracy, Syriza, Canal, the Communist Party, Greek Solution, and Mera 25. Mm-hmm. And New Democracy and Greek Solution are on the left wing. Those are like... Or no, sorry, they're on the right wing.
Yes, I was going to say.
Misspoke. They're on the right wing, and those two parties combined, if the 50-seat thing didn't exist, would not make a majority. Like, you would probably be... If this was a proportional system, you might be actually looking at something where a coalition actually cuts out New Democracy.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, that's true.
But that's a if and buts were candy and nuts kind of situation, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, let's get into the results. Run us through the results there.
Cool. All right. So in first place, we have New Democracy, which is the quote-unquote center-right party of Greece. We'll talk about that later. They got 158 seats. That's up 83 from the last election. Most of that is the bonus 50 they got. Mm-hmm. And percentage vote, they got 39.85%. Mm-hmm. Which is 11% increase from the last time.
Yep.
In second place, we have Syriza, the quote-unquote far-left party. We'll get into that later. they won 86. That's down 59 from last time. Again, most of that is them losing their 50-seat bonus.
Yeah.
They got 31.53% of the vote. Their vote share actually in percentage only dropped by 4%, 3.93. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Next, we have Canal, which is a combination of two other parties that have been around in Greek politics for a while. PASOK, which has been historically the traditional center-left party of Greece, mm-hmm. and Kidiso. Reading that as a Japanese word, even though I know it isn't. Yeah.
They're the anime party, you know.
Yeah, Kidiso. Sorry, I just need to look them up a bit a second. But they've renamed themselves Canal very recently. They've gone through a couple of name changes. They used to be called The River, and before that they were called Damar, and before that they were just like PASOK hyphen like Kidiso Damar. So this is a generally center left social democracy parties. But again, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll get into that later again, I guess. Then we have the KKE, the Communist Party of Greece, which they got 15 seats. Oh, sorry. Canal got 22 seats. That's up 5 from last time. 8.1% of the vote. Mm-hmm. Now let's talk about the Communist Party of Greece. The Communist Party of Greece, KKE, got 15 seats. That's the same amount they had last time. Mm-hmm. They've technically dropped 0.25% of the vote, mm-hmm. but it still results in 15 seats.
Yep.
And also, the last election, they didn't gain any seats either. They've been holding at 15 seats for quite a while.
The Greek communists are like really, really sure that it's their day will come eventually.
Eventually, yes. They are like... The reason they're popular is they are the successor movement to the losing side of the Greek Civil War, which compared to what happened with the winning side, I would probably venture to say the good side of the Greek Civil War, because the other side were the military junta, and they were terrifying. The Greek communists, they also shore up goodwill by being heavily involved in local politics. And doing a lot of good in that level.
Yeah.
So, but they're also notorious for just like not working with anyone. Mm. So they're kind of like a black hole in the parliament, essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, we have a new party called EL, or better known as Greek Solution, which that name terrifies me. I know it's not meant to be terrifying, but you know, because he's Greek himself. So I'm assuming he's not trying to like mass eradicate his own people, because that's what it sounds like. Yeah, the
it doesn't work. Yeah,
yeah. They're a new party. He's got 10 seats. The party occupies a space of like we're far right, but we're more respectable than Golden Dawn. Yeah, the leader of the party, Kyriakos Velopoulos, I don't know. He's famous for being a telesales guy. He's like on TV all the time telling people about like a screenshot I found. He was selling toothpaste and books. Yeah. In like the same screenshot.
He acts in the telesales stuff. He's not like a telesales mogul. He's like a telesales personality.
Yeah, yeah. He's on TV selling you things.
That's very funny.
I am assuming this is where a proportion of the vote is coming from, being like, yeah, that's the guy from the telly.
Yeah, it seems that would probably work, you know.
It did work. He got into Parliament. He's got his party's got 10 seats. They got 3.7% of the vote.
That's not bad.
It's above the threshold.
Yeah.
Yeah, but like ultra Greek Orthodox, ultra far right, kind of weird party. And then last but not least, we have Yanis Varoufakis's party associated with the DiEM25 movement, MERA25, which, if I remember correctly, so this is the thing with DiEM25, everything they do is a pun. So, yeah.
Mira, not to be confused with She-Ra. It's about me, not she.
It is a pun because Mira is an anagram for European Realistic Disobedience Front.
Uh-huh.
But Mera is the Greek word for tomorrow.
Right, okay.
Yeah. The DiEM25 party in Greece was called was like Democracy in Europe.
Mm.
And because of the way the Germans shorten words, that became DEIN Europe. So your Europe.
Oh, right, I see. Yeah, okay. Everything's a pun. Puns.
Everything's a pun. Yeah. Everything is a pun.
Get our socialist future via puns.
Hey, if it works, it works. 3.44% of the vote, resulting in nine seats.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if you mentioned it while going through the electoral system, because there was a lot of other stuff to mention, but a 3% threshold is in effect in Greek politics.
I mentioned that. That was the first thing I said.
Sorry. The other stuff was just buck wild. Uh-huh. I got distracted.
Yeah, I know.
So those are the parties that got above 3%. I feel like it's important to mention that Golden Dawn, which in the last parliament was like the third largest party.
Mm.
They did not meet their 3% threshold this time around, but only just. They got 2.93% of the vote. And they are an absolute boogeyman of like Greek politics. They are terrifying and worth being afraid of. So, you know, keep an eye on them, I guess.
Yeah.
Because they also have a lot of local action as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Some parties that didn't make the cut, including Popular Unity, wasn't very popular. The United Popular Front also was not very popular. The Union of Centrists, again, not very.
Yeah, right.
The other Communist Party of Greece, the Maoist one, they didn't get in. The Marxist-Leninist Communist Party of Greece also did not get in. I like how there's three Communist parties.
Yeah, this is probably something we should probably state straight out, but I guess it will go into our analysis. But the left-wing movement in Greece is really fucking strong. In general,
but
very strong.
But, like, very fragmented.
Oh, incredibly fragmented.
Because, like, the Maoist Communist Party of Greece, like, I think, like, their name is just the Communist Party of Greece. It's, you have to, like, look them up to find out what the differences are. But, like, they only got 7,000 votes. But did you... Like, maybe some of those 7,000 were confused and voted for the wrong party.
7,000 tricked people.
Yeah. There's also a Workers' Revolutionary Party, which is a Trotskyist Communist Party. Yeah. That got about about 2,000 votes across the country.
There's another Greek Trotskyist party called the Organization of Internationalist Communist Greece.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So... I think it's worth pointing out that like both Golden Dawn and the Union of Centrists fell out of the parliament. That's probably the best way to talk about them.
Because
they were parties that were there before that didn't meet their threshold this time. Golden Dawn had a particularly precipitous drop, but people have argued that It's not that the like right wing in Greece has gone away or been mass converted. Greeks, both Greek Solution and parts of New Democracy are like taking that vote.
Yes.
And they and Greek Solution and parts of New Democracy are really just as bad as Golden Dawn.
Yeah. Golden Dawn voters are very susceptible to telesales. So.
Yeah, probably.
So basically, I wanted to get into two kind of related but separate things. One is like, what has New Democracy done that caused them to win? Win in quotation marks. And then what did Syriza do to lose? Like, they lost like what, 3-4% of their vote? But you're kind of like, you know, in the scheme of things, they lost control of the parliament, so not great. Syriza, get it together. So New Democracy first. So like the caveat their landslide, the turnout in this election was very, very low. It was 57.92%, and which works out as like under 10 million votes. No, sorry, that's registered. There's like 10 million registered voters, 9.9 million, and there was 5.7 million people voted. The vote, like the actual number of people who voted for New Democracy in this election is the last election where they got this many votes. Was in 2009, and they came second in that election. The winning party got 3 million votes, and Syriza got like a reasonable number of votes. Like this was kind of like earlier in their days, but it was kind of like a turnout in that election was much, much higher. Like the total number of votes was much higher. So like New Democracy winning this, like sweeping to win this election, but it's in the scope of, well, this is kind of coming back to their like an election where they didn't even win that election. They haven't been in complete control for quite a while, and they're now doing it on actually quite a low number of people for Greece. Part of this is quite complicated to work out because Greece technically has mandatory voting, but in practice it's not enforced, and it's also automatic voter registration, which seem like, according to a few different things I've read, has caused the problem of the electoral rolls are kind of known to be quite unreliable, so calculating turnout is quite difficult.
Right.
So it's unclear, because Greece has like high immigration out of the country, and you know, turnout will probably be depressed anyway due to the like voter apathy and various things that have happened. But it's not like New Democracy have swept to unprecedented popularity or popularity they haven't seen in a long time. Like, this is nothing like the popularity they had in the mid-2000s when they were in government. This is actually a lot fewer people voting for them to cause this outcome. And they very much got like, so like they have a parliamentary majority of 8. They got like very, very near the minimum percentage you would need to get the 50 plus to give you your to make it an absolute majority. So it's a landslide in that like they're, you know, 7+ points ahead of the next nearest party, like, which is pretty big, but their majority in parliament is very small, and they very much only have it due to the system. They actually see more votes in 2009 when they came second, because turnout was 70%. So they're probably going to bring in a new electoral law. I was trying to look into what, because again, there was quite a few articles that were kind of along the lines of, it's going to be very difficult for New Democracy to fulfill their promises. I was trying to then figure out what their promises were, because they seem to be relatively vague, and a lot of it seemed to be, to a certain extent, we're not Syriza, and Syriza have ruined the country. So, like, there's a few things they've been able to attack Syriza on, which is due to, as we'll get to in the talking about Syriza more directly, the third bailout package for Greece meant that Syriza had to have quite, like, large increases in taxes, especially income taxes, and not getting rid of taxes they said they were going to reform. So I can attack them on Syriza's raising your taxes. This is what the left does. We can lower your taxes, as New Democracy always does. They also kind of came out, but not like hit hard, against the North Macedonia agreement to call North Macedonia North Macedonia and let them into NATO and potentially the EU. So like that's to a certain extent speculation as to why Golden Dawn voters would come back to New Democracy, because their newish leader, Nick, or you know, what's his name? Mitsotakis. He's kind of like been bandied around in kind of the more mainstream news media as kind of like a liberal reformer for New Democracy, and like to a certain extent that probably is true, but he's able to kind of keep the like nationalist voters by New Democracy used to be like quite socially conservative, and he's kind of realized what a lot of like conservative party leaders in the last while have done across Europe especially, which is you could shut up or like not say a lot on social issues and people will assume you're more conservative than the left-wing parties, but you don't have to be like outwardly progressive or outwardly conservative on social issues, but it allows you to be very, very conservative on economic issues and kind of things about the state. So like in order to adhere to while Greece has exited the bailout package, they still need to keep their like finances in check, and the finances aren't in a good state because of years of negative growth and massive austerity policies. So their way of not cutting anything more is to privatize services, so they'll raise money doing that, which allow them to cut taxes, and effectively just like keep saying things about like Syriza's mishandling of individuals. So like they came out strongly against Syriza's handling of wildfires in the north of Greece, which is like a good local issue to basically be like, look, they're disorganized. But it's kind of forgetting that New Democracy were running like a unity government for the first two bailout packages. So effectively they want to fix the austerity that they started now by privatizing services and cutting taxes. And kind of just like shrinking the state in like a classic, quite heavily conservative way. It's very much, they can just sell that as, we're just going to lower your taxes have increased, so we're going to bring them back to where they were. But to pay for that, they're going to have to sell public services off to be privatized. So it's created like a weird, there's a Washington Post headline which really annoyed me, which was, after a decade of crisis, Greek politics are turning normal and boring. That's like, by normal and boring, you mean they're going to be like very economically conservative in terms of like privatizing Greek public services that are like currently underfunded because the government has had to underfund them because of the not advantageous bailout setup that previous like multiple previous governments in a row had to negotiate, and their solution to that seems to be to potentially sell some of them to pay for the rest, which is not great. Yeah, so effectively, like, they're not turning normal and boring. They're turning to, like, what the problem was before the financial crisis, which was New Democracy were in government for a long time. Then they weren't. Then the crash happened. Then they were in government again and negotiated the first two bailout agreements via the weird unity government, where that setup was confusing because effectively it was a unity government because no party had enough seats to do anything. But New Democracy, in effect, ran everything because PASOK were in second place, and effectively they were like, we don't want to touch the actual cabinet because we don't want to be associated with it, but we'll have to inevitably vote up all the like budgetary things you want to do, which caused people to leave both parties because they voted against various bailout agreements. But effectively, like, New Democracy is kind of just wants to go back to where things were or make them more conservative than they were economically speaking.
Yeah, so some of the stuff I've been reading about, like, New Democracy and kind of, like, what they intend to do or, like, how they kind of pitch themselves, I guess to kind of lead off on what you were talking about, I can talk about how they were kind of advertising themselves. Oh. And I found this great piece in opendemocracy.net called, for anyone, it'll be in the show notes, but it's called Greek Visiting Hours Touring Debt Prison. Yeah. It has a take about the current state of Greece, for sure. But it did kind of point out this kind of like cultural phenomenon that has been happening in Greece ever since 2015. Mm-hmm. And something that New Democracy has kind of like pounced on, which is self-loathing. Mm. Self-loathing as a form of propaganda for the purposes of like basically saying that they've been writing in an implicit way that the Greek people are, by their own devices, are not to be trusted. And that, like, Europe and Brussels is inherently superior and know how to guide you through this, which is a persuasive thought, or like a pervasive thought in Greek society, according to this article. And New Democracy has managed to capitalize on this idea that they are the trusted middlemen, the adults in the room that will process these like higher thoughts in a way that you lowly Greeks can understand and implement.
Yes.
It's grim. It's very grim. Mm-hmm.
That's a weird way to sell yourself to the Greek people.
Yeah, but like they said, it's basically this quote, "This rhetoric, although never explicit, has served to create a Greek mentality that places Europe as a cultural culture separate and superior to our own, and one towards which we should aspire despite our quote marks natural shortcomings."
Yeah, right. That is the kind of like a lot of what Mitsotakis has been saying is, are we going to fix youth unemployment? And one of the ways we can do that is by lowering corporation tax to bring multinational companies in and privatize public services, possibly via multinational companies. Like, what the? So yeah, effectively, like that's probably the most explicit example of that kind of thing. Is like Greece isn't working by itself, so we need to bring in big companies that the EU supports, possibly like. Companies from, like, say, Germany and France could come in and fix our economy for us. And you're like, well, that's cool. That's you're going to sell off Greek state assets in order to get the potential promise of jobs. And it's kind of a very, very difficult thing to reverse once you do it. And it's coming at a time where, like, Tsipras has been getting, like, a lot of, like, possibly, like, poison pill for his actual, you know, support base, or is like a traditional support base of Syriza, but for like getting Greece out of the Baileyite system and like adhering to all of their rules, and then New Democracy are gonna roll in and be like, oh, thanks for, you know, getting the public finances in order and cutting the funds to a lot of these things and raising all the money by taxes to keep the system going. Now that you've done that, and that a lot of public services are kind of like not bleeding money, now's a good time to sell them because they're more appealing business opportunities. You're like, oh, that's not, oh no, you were tricked.
Yeah, it seems another New Statesman article, which again linked in the description, made the comparison to what New Democracy's plans are to the Baltic states, particularly Latvia, where basically austerity is implemented. Things are sold off, the market is trusted to like provide all these solutions, but they deal with unemployment by effectively allowing the population to leave. Where the unemployment in Greece goes down, not because they're creating more jobs or providing better opportunities for people, but like the unemployed people just leave, basically.
Yeah, right. Yeah, like a lot of, like that is true of a lot of the Baltic countries, is that like people leaving the countries are at very high levels, but so it causes their unemployment to be artificially low. And the, you know, fixing their balance books by, you know, participating in multinational corporation coming in, providing some level of jobs, and in exchange they get like leniencies on tax rates. It's not a good long-term plan, because then you're very dependent on companies that can abandon you at any moment if for some reason you like need money and you have to raise taxes or you want to change employment laws or something. You've effectively handed power over from like a more fragmented kind of actual market to something that's actually controlled by places, companies that kind of their priority is not your country. So if you need to change something, like you're a small fish to them, they might get up and leave, and it means it becomes a very good argument for, oh, we can increase corporation tax and this company will leave, and we're actually very dependent on them for a lot of jobs in this area, and they're the only employer there. And it's like, well, that didn't fix the problem then. That was a very short-term fix.
Mm.
Just to leave New Democracy, because I'm sick of talking about them. I think the BBC had a good summary of what Mr. Takis was saying. So, said growth would be boosted by private investments, exports, and innovation. I don't know where he thinks innovation is going to come from via his plan, but okay. New Democracy's also promised to lower taxes and privatize services in the country. Again, you could make that argument. If you cut public services enough, then they will appear bad enough that, you know, privatizing sounds like a great idea. Cut corporation tax and pledge to reduce youth unemployment, which is very high. It's at like 30 or 40%, depending on what age you look at. But again, this is kind of like, it's a lot of like, these are the problems Syriza has caused. And it's like, well, Syriza weren't in government for that long. They've been in government for 4 years. And prior to that, you were in government. And I don't know why you think youth unemployment wasn't a you problem or a bailout system problem or like a thing that was, you know, coming around the corner either way. So I think the interesting thing about the way to look at the election results is that looking at seat numbers is very misleading because of the 50 bonus seats. New Democracy have ended up with a very slim majority because of it, and based on the like percentage changes across the board, it's more likely that people who either didn't vote in the last election, because in the last election the turnout wasn't good either, who didn't vote in the last election came back to New Democracy from having voted for them previously, or it's New Dawn voters who are Golden Dawn voters, not New Dawn, New Democracy, Golden Dawn, not Golden Democracy, certainly not. Left them and went to a combination of Greek Solution and New Democracy. So it's kind of like a interesting hodgepodge that has created this absolute majority in the parliament, which is kind of odd. So I guess now it's time to talk about more of a... It's interesting, actually, because like, so say like say hypothetically, like Syriza's 4% loss went like made up the half of the 8% bump that Canal got being the centre-left party, which I think makes sense, or 4% of Syriza previous voters didn't vote, and some combination of that happening. Even if Syriza had held on where they were before, that would mean New Democracy would probably still have a majority in Parliament. Syriza would just have more seats.
Yeah.
So Syriza actually, this is a situation where Syriza could have gained seats and still have lost their control. So they would have had to gain around 5-6% to even come equal with New Democracy. And again, there's that percentage in the Syriza kind of political sphere. And again, there's definitely that percentage of people who didn't show up to vote. So this actually could have been a very tight election and it wouldn't have mattered, which is interesting.
Yeah.
But for the purpose of, since they did technically lose, let's discuss what went wrong with Syriza. My like very surface level way of looking at this is they came into government with their theoretically very left-wing group of ministers, several of whom left over the whole bailout agreement setup, and then the thing of the bailout, to refresh people's memories, was they negotiated a third bailout with the EU / IMF, etc. And then they came back with something that most of Syriza's like a lot of the, like Yanis Varoufakis didn't like it, like a bunch of Syriza's MPs didn't like it. So what they did was they had a referendum on it where the Greek people rejected the bailout terms, but then Tsipras kind of changed some little bit, like they made some small tweaks again, and then went forward with it anyway. Yeah. I think you can put a lot of their like a lot of it down to that alone is like pretty ridiculous.
They basically disregarded the Ahi vote that happened. I'm not even sure that like the surface level wheel change some small things even happened, or if at least it did, it fooled no one in Greece.
I don't think so.
Yeah, a lot of like, and this cost Syriza a lot of things structurally as well.
Yeah.
because Yanis Varoufakis, especially in the English-speaking world, is probably the most high-profile person they lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
sure.
they lost a lot of like left-wing politicians, cabinet mm-hmm. members, prominent MPs, mm-hmm. and party members who were doing a lot of the like. Who were giving Syriza a lot of credibility. They had been like in left politics in Greece for a very long time. They were just belonged to a bunch of parties that were either made up the formation of Syriza, or they left that party to join Syriza, or they weren't involved in a party. They were more involved in activism or like a kind of intellectualism, like punditry type of thing. And that the bailout moment in, I believe it's like July 15th, 2015.
Yeah.
That like Ahi vote incident plus some stuff that happened pretty shortly after is what caused them a lot of these like people who were effectively giving the party as an institution a lot of credibility. Mm. And without them, their electoral force was never going to be as strong.
Credibility on the left is what you mean by that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But credibility, like, it's worth saying that on the left, you can easily conflate that with people who are... Because, like Ireland, Greece is in a state of, like, politics is very much defined about, like, what side of the civil war you were on.
Yeah, right.
And unlike Ireland, where we have basically two centre-right parties determining which side of the civil war you were on, there is a left-right split in Greece.
Mm.
To indicate which side of the civil war you were on. So these were people who occupied that space where they had left politics, but they also were reaching people who probably wouldn't be as far left in other cultural contexts. Mm. Greece also occupies a similar space to Italy, where there basically is very little room for a middle ground wishy-washy politics.
Yeah, right.
You either go far right or far left, or you go home.
Yes.
And that's kind of what Greece is in that situation. The left, whether it was like strong politically, like electorally politically, always had a on the ground force.
Mm-hmm.
For anyone who doesn't know, a great example of this is there's an entire neighborhood in Athens that is like anarchist controlled, where there are no police. And, like, everything is free.
Mm.
This is a neighborhood called Exarchia. And, yeah, it's like, this is the kind of thing that Greek left politics is like. There is definitely a infrastructure for, like, activists, intellectuals, etc., etc. And they were lending a lot of their credibility to Syriza before this Ahi vote happened.
Yeah, right.
Another way to look at the results of this election is, or the way I kind of have looked at it, is, like... what you would call it is that you can it's interesting that I'm surprised at the amount of vote that Syriza got despite losing this credibility.
I guess, like, again, this comes down to the whole turnout was 57%.
Yeah,
so it's kind of like a again, like, if you compare, like, going back to the 2009 election, PASOK won that election with 3 million votes. Like, Syriza never received 3 million votes, despite having been in government. Like, being almost in majority government. In this, they got 1.78 million, which is, like... 10 years ago in Greek elections was a very unusual amount, like an unusually low number of votes for the party coming second. So like, again, like, taking a look at it, of like that's a reasonable anti New Democracy vote, and the current like kind of devil you know thing, or Syriza running on a, well, now the bailout is over, we can start doing some of the stuff we actually wanted to do kind of message.
Yeah.
You're gonna run through some now with the that their record hasn't been good and is like something that you know, Mitsotakis would actually love. But I think that's it. Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Of there's not really room in the middle for wishy-washy politics when Mitsotakis is held up by several English language news outlets that aren't like right wing news outlets, kind of like neoliberally news outlets, kind of going like, he's a liberal reformer for New Democracy. I'm like, yeah, for New Democracy, that's definitely true, but he's like a very hard tax lowering, privatizing guy. So in a lot of countries, he'd be very far to the right, but he's like a former banker turned politician from a, like, that is comparatively to a lot of the stuff New Democracy used to be advocating. He's a liberal reformer, but you know, it's in the scope of Greek politics. It's not in the scope of what you would normally think of.
The one of the other like things on the ground that has changed about Syriza over this time is like, in the stead of these people who had a lot of credibility on the left and thus like half of Greek society, because of the civil war implications, they've now been replaced by, like, I heard examples that like some of the people running for Syriza are like YouTube celebrities and and former like PASOK members. What happened to Syriza has been described before as PASOKification, which is to say they became PASOK.
Yeah.
And based on how PASOK did in this election, I would say that yes, Syriza now occupies the space that PASOK has supposedly occupied. So there's a little bit of that going on. But if we're going to talk about a little bit of the stuff that they have done in their time as government, or like post the Ahi vote, it would be interesting to talk about some of that, because this has lost them a lot of their credibility. Or at least, at the very least, you can also see this in the way they've been written about, especially in like left publications. They've definitely lost their credibility amongst international left.
Yeah.
I was talking to someone about like how when they first got elected, an Italian party was formed that was called itself the Alexis Tsipras List.
Yes.
Like, that's how much clout they had initially when, like, when this first all happened, and that very quickly evaporated. Syriza sold the railways of Greece, privatized the railways in Greece for 43 million euro.
That doesn't seem like a lot of money.
No. According to Yanis Varoufakis, because this is from an interview with Yanis Varoufakis, that if you had you would have gotten more money for tearing up all the railways and selling them for scrap.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. They implemented, they liberalized the laws in Greece about gambling and poker machines. They enabled the deployment of 35,000 poker machines by private companies. Which is kind of horrific considering how bankrupt the entire nation, the people were. Provide this lifeline for gambling.
That's like, that's like particularly egregious because, like, so the there's like an ongoing thing here in the UK of the Labour Party complaining about the Conservative Party delaying reforming fixed price betting terminal, fixed betting terminals, which are, you know, is a catch-all term for those kind of machines, where like basically they want to get rid of all of them. That's like not seen internationally as a very progressive thing of like, it's predatory on the like anyone lower class who doesn't have a lot of money. And Syriza, you know, who were getting international like a lot of clout and are still referred to as like the radical left party in Greece, but you're like, it's kind of just returned to a two-party system, and Syriza has kind of become like PASOK but with a lot of weird baggage, where instead of being around for the financial crash and like having, you know, valid criticism about having been, you know, complicit in the, you know, weak system that was allowed for it, they're kind of, you know, they've charged themselves as like the worst parts of the stuff. They had the money in their hands to get through the bailouts.
I think it's also worth pointing out that you probably can't underestimate the percentage of the vote for Syriza that does come from people who are like, how do you say, are disappointed and disillusioned with Syriza, but are still aware that New Democracy is going to be a lot worse.
Yeah, or just worse in different ways.
Yeah.
New and unexpected ways.
New and unexpected ways. It was a kind of a case that, like, I can imagine a percentage of the Syriza's vote being like, we have to keep the other parties out of power. because they're probably going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Another kind of extended case that that I'd like to talk about. Again, there's an article going into this in more detail, but this is to do with like the Syriza's government involvement in home foreclosures. Mm-hmm. So Syriza kind of campaigned initially on the promise that like banks would not hold on to people's homes, that like they would not be in banks' hands. Mm-hmm. I believe was the exact slogan. But to keep in line with the Troika deal, they pressured Greek banks to collect their debt on like houses, people's homes in Greece, and this increased home foreclosures pretty radically. This happened, I want to say, this was happening like particularly ramped up about 4 to 5 months before the election. And yeah, this kind of results in a lot of people being like taken out of their homes in pretty like grim scenarios. Ireland has had like experience of this as well, of like people being forced out of their own homes, and the footage going online and stuff. So naturally protests start to go on, and it's very easy to do direct action in response to this. You find out about what home is going to be foreclosed on, you get a group of people there, and you block people from entering and like actually doing it. It's a good means of protest. But then Syriza passed a law saying that like any protest interfering with the auction process would result in arrests. And this, I believe the minimum sentence is somewhere between 3 to 6 months. And this has also resulted in like particularly tragic situations where like the former minister of energy belonging to Syriza, he eventually left Syriza, he joined Popular Unity, and he was one of these various people who was giving Syriza, you know, a lot of that like left cred. A man called Panagiotis Lafazanis, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, I'm probably not. But he's now been arrested for his participation in weekly protest actions against the auction and sales of homes by notaries. And he could be looking at a 9-year sentence in prison.
Jesus. All right.
Yeah. So, like, all, naturally, a lot of this stuff in certain circles in Greece, if you're, like, interested in, like, what state the parties are in, there's definitely a lot of apolitical people in Greece. There are people who are, like, always going to be New Democracy or, like, right-wing voters. But there's a lot of people looking at this in Greece and seeing this stuff naturally enough, and it's affecting them. Like, the home foreclosures are happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you can understand why you would start pointing at Syriza, mainly because it is all directly to do with Syriza, but like a lot of everything to do with Greece and Greek politics is there's a lot of external forces in play as well. So
we're now in a situation where like this is pretty shitty. it's very much a question of like, so Syriza is kind of an odd party as well, because they kind of swept to power and like annihilated the really entrenched center-left party that like traditionally had links with like the unions and had grassroots in like working class areas and things that you normally expect from like the center-left party in a country. And so when Syriza has now supplanted them basically completely, Syriza actually has very few members. It only has 30,000 members in its party. And doesn't really have any of the, like, you know, organizational, like, tendrils that you would expect from a party of its, like, now electoral power in Greece. So it's an interesting thing of, like, will, like, what's going to happen with it now? Because Tsipras himself has kind of, you know, ruined his credibility almost completely with most of his voters, I imagine. And it's kind of more people voting for the kind of idea of what Syriza could like return to being, or but it's kind of, it now just exists as like bad PASOK for like disorganized bad PASOK.
I like, from what I've heard, is they have like absorbed a lot of like PASOK's infrastructure, and like won over that thing, but it's now a kind of situation. I think another way of describing it is it's a version of PASOK that was voted in on a very different like raison d'etre than PASOK ever was, and therefore they've ultimately disappointed people, but
but they're now as entrenched as PASOK was that it's now very hard to get rid of them.
Yeah.
And replace that with maybe another left force that might win over people more or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm wondering what I'm just trying to look for an upside.
Yeah, do we want to talk upsides?
Yeah, let's talk upsides. Upsides are that upsides. Mayor 25 seem fine. They have 9 seats. This is the problem, is that a majority of the parliament you can do a lot with just their parliamentary majority. They're unlikely to bleed. Well, actually, no, this is the thing, there were problems with New Democracy over the whole keeping the party together over whether or not to support the Macedonia deal. Some of their members voted for it and some of them didn't, because they needed a 2/3 majority, I think, to get the thing through. They didn't. Yeah, no. Tsipras needed additional votes. I think he got some New Democracy votes. So, like, potentially, because they're such a flimsy majority, they could easily bleed eight ministers or eight parliamentarians in a 5-year period, 4 or 5-year period. It's like it's happened before. The party Anel, the kind of like ambiguous, kind of right wing weird thing that was in government with Syriza previously. That was made up of people who had left New Democracy mid-parliament. So that could happen. Parliament could collapse. I guess it's good that, DM25 got some seats in some parliament somewhere.
Yeah. So I would say the Mayor 25 thing for me is nice. I like that a lot. I like a lot of what DM25 espouses. I think they have other problems that I won't get into right now, but overall good. And it's nice to see, because people were concerned that the DM25 movement would, like, after the EU elections, of not getting any seat being a bit of a death knell to them, but like I think now that they've actually managed to get in Greece, which is kind of like one of, you could consider one of their like spiritual homes, I guess. That's good, and I think they are going to be, and they are like now in the parliament, and I've heard Greek people talking about this, they are now considered a left-wing force that is willing to work with other, like, is willing to be constructive, and is also anti, what's referred to within Greece as anti-memorandum, which is to say they are against further austerity. They were against the third bailout deal.
Yeah, right.
Which is something that, like, Syriza isn't anymore, and the KKE aren't, because they're not, like, a constructive party, because they don't work with other people. So it's nice that that force exists electorally within Greece. That's handy for it. Like, if they weren't there, I think that this parliament would look a whole lot grimmer. And also, I guess the other kind of, like, little takeaway would be the left in Greece is not gone. By any stretch or any imagination, even though Syriza has kind of like not been as left as they could be or what they originally sold themselves as, and like you're getting all these articles that are saying like, oh, the conservatives got a landslide or whatever, the left in Greece is still quite strong, probably stronger than a lot of other countries that have like better left representation in parliament. So it's still there. And also, one last thing.
You go ahead.
This is slightly unrelated and probably less important, but I'm reading a lot of accounts of like Mayor 25 like campaigning in Greece and doing rallies and stuff. And campaigning in Greece sounds like a goddamn treat. It really sounds lovely. It's literally like they would go to this town in Corfu, like the island, like off the coast of Albania, like have meetings with people in like old amphitheaters, like ancient Greek amphitheaters, because they're just everywhere, and that's a great place to hold a rally. And they would just do that, and then in the end, someone who's like running for office on behalf of Mera would just invite people back to their house, and like they'd all just like have wine and eat cheese and talk about politics.
That sounds delightful.
It does sound delightful, and it's just, that's what campaigning in Greece is if you do, like, on-the-ground campaigning.
There was one speculation I saw, which was like the low turnout might be because they're having the election in the summer when it's too hot. people won't vote. Like, actually, you know what? That might be. I mean, yeah, potentially. I don't know. I guess it's the thing of they're going to change their electoral system to get rid of the 50-50 bonus seats thing, which might with other small parties that are more likely to work together and form like potentially like a Denmark style setup where you have like a left block of people who you might think, whatever Syriza become in the next 4 or 5 years, you might not be on board with, but they will probably be unlikely to change into something that will cause them to get massive gains in their popularity to the point where they get a majority using actual proportional system. So while they didn't have a great track record in government of doing like any of the stuff they said they were going to do, and instead they did a lot of like privatization and, you know, just taxing people and not actually reforming the stuff they said they were going to reform. They did get the electoral reform through, and pushing through a more proportional electoral system is always good. So at least you'll get one election with a proportional system.
Maybe, unless they can get like some sort of like super majority in favor of whatever New Democracy has in like plan.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely, but it just seems like that seems like a very broken system.
Yeah, I find that table just very quickly. There was a reinforced proportionality system, which is like the bonus system that was introduced in 1974, which ran for 4 elections. New Democracy brought that in. PASOK in 1989 changed it to just proportional, and that ran for three election cycles. Then New Democracy brought back their reformed proportionality for 4 more elections. And then PASOK changed it slightly for 2 elections. Then New Democracy brought it back to the current system for 5 elections. And now we might get a simple proportionality system again. Possibly for 1 election. Who knows?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, yeah, that was the Greek election, I guess.
Hooray.
Ooh. And that was another episode of Previously in Europe. If you like what we're doing, let us know. We love to hear from you, so you can always email us at gmail.com. We have an email address, previouslyineurope@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about the show. We also have a Facebook group, which you can join, and, you know, that's pretty cool. We have a Discord called Left Europe that's now associated with the Patreon, and you can join it. We have a Twitter, PREV in Europe, yes, the Twitter. And I believe, based on Hugh's recent tweeting, we're sponsored by Fritz Cola now? I don't know, it's a whole thing. And speaking of supporting us, you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, that kind of helps a lot, or anywhere that you can find a reviewing function. That stuff usually helps spread the word. If you can't do that, you can also just manually spread the word where you tell people about the podcast. And the most concrete material way to support us is patreon.com/previouslyineurope, where you can donate a small amount of money and help us keep the podcasting lights on. You will also have your name read out if you donate a certain amount on the podcast. Like these cool bakers. The term is bakers. This is catching on. You help make the pie, you are a baker. Like Dermot Burke. Dreers Arian. Oh no, I was told how to pronounce that recently and I've forgotten. Justin Paul Sammons, Lisa Shalagina, Michael Hall, Niall McLaughlin, and Subliminal Kid. And yeah, that's the lot, guys. Thanks for listening.